the gang.
Yeah.
Doing pretty good. Amen. Really did that one. Amen, amen. We're going to have a lesson today from, if you have the Bibles, turn to two places for me, Galatians 5 and 22, and Philippians 4, and we're going to be in the fourth verse. While you're getting there, give unto God the Father, to Jesus, Son, to the Holy Spirit, who is assuredly present with us. Amen. To our pastor, Reverend Dr. Harold Sylvester Stinger, to our First Lady, Only Lady, Sister Stinger, to the ministers on the DL, our assistant pastor, all the other ministers who are here, to the congregation, to our deacon, our deaconess, to all the officials, the choir, amen, who has done a marvelous job, the musicians, and to our young choir, amen, amen. They just keep getting better and better and better and better and better, amen, amen. And to our youth who are here, our children, our young chef, John and Macquarie. I'm thinking of a restaurant in the future called JJ's, but it's not the usual JJ's. It has a different flavor to it. It has a little bit of everything. I'm just saying, okay. It's kind of catchy when you think about it. Amen. To each of you guys, children, to my lovely wife, Sheila, so many years, and she's just still in the fight. Amen. My wonderful son, Tyler, and RJ, who's not here, it's just good to be in your midst on today. Amen. Did I miss anybody? I got all God's children, right?
Amen.
That's everybody. Amen. Galatians 5 and 22, if you have it, would you stand with me for the reading of these passages? 5 and 22, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. We'll stop there because we're going to focus on joy. Philippians 4, if you have it, 4 and 4 through 7 says, and I'm reading again from the King James Version, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Mm-hmm. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. Mm-hmm. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. Mm-hmm. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Yes. Would you bow your heads and pray with me? God, we just want to tell you, thank you for being God and God all by yourself.
Thank you.
I'm a messenger, Lord, standing in need of your word. But you said you would send forth your words and the earth would not return unto you void.
Yes.
We trust and believe you for that. And as you give us your word, Lord, open our eyes that we can see, our ears that we can hear, our hearts that we can understand. I mean, Lord, so deep within the presence of the cross and behind it to not a mere scene, but only you, and you get the glory. This is our prayer today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I want to recognize the fact that it is Children's Day. Amen. If you missed this morning, Sister Samuel gave us a nice history of how the day originated. One of the things that stood out for me on that day was the fact, one, it originated in Russia, but secondly, it originated because of the fact that children were working. Labor. They were working. Y'all got a day because you were working. They didn't have child labor laws, and so as a result, you were working like when you were real young. Just saying. So now we're still celebrating that. Don't stop working. Amen. Y'all got the point on that? Amen. And also the fact that we are celebrating today begins the first day and the second Sunday of the 12 months that we're going to celebrate leading up to our 131st church anniversary and 25th year anniversary for the pastor. Amen.
Amen.
So today is that first day, and I have the honor of addressing that first fruit of the Spirit, because we're going to build on the fruits of the Spirit, of which are 9, and add in 3 more for good flavor. But we'll start today with joy. With joy. Somebody, when I say this, somebody jumped up.
Yeah.
I mean, when I say joy, he just doesn't have a catchy phrase to it. Joy.
Yeah.
And I want to talk to you from the subject, and I thought this was very interesting. The choir came with the song of my subject, I Still Have Joy.
All right.
That's the subject today. I still have joy. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I still have joy.
Neighbor.
Turn to your other neighbor and say, neighbor.
Neighbor.
I still have joy. Grab your step in the collar and say,
self.
I still have joy. Amen, amen. I spent the last week with my family. I have not been with my brother, my sibling, and maybe fit all of them in one place in maybe 15 years. We split them up, had one there, two here, two there, but all 6 of us were together, and we realized we're still crazy. But we spent this past Tuesday together, and it was a marvelous time. But what was funny and interesting about our experience together, we had some difficult points in our time together. But we never lost our joy.
All right.
Amen.
I said, we had some points that were very interesting. I'm just going to give you a couple of them to show you how the devil tried to work with you. But then we never stopped laughing. I don't know why that is, but I want to give you some perspective on joy. But we were riding on our way to the graduation, and my son and my twin brother's SUV, and all of a sudden, the light came on, and the people behind us, my other brother, they saw smoke, but nobody said anything. And the light came on, and all of a sudden, the air went off in the car. Now, I don't know, did I mention I was in Houston? That's like being in hell on earth. But that heat, the air went off, and I was in. I had my computer out because I was trying to get myself ready for Sunday. This was on Friday night, and I'm trying to get ready, but it got so hot, I turned the computer off because I figured it was generating too much heat. And they let the windows down. I'm like, what is going on up in here? Because I'm like, won't they pull over and put me in the other car or something like that? And so there was three of us running, so one of the cars knew exactly where they were going, so they proceeded on, not knowing we had problems. So ultimately, we pulled over, and there are three of us in this car, and the other car filled with three, and us three decided we're going to get in that one car, because this car just shut down on us. And so we're still laughing. Now, we're all sardined inside this car. Four people in the back seat of a Honda CRV. Now, I want to set that up because I need you to understand they were all bigger than me. That's a lot of meat in one place, I'm just saying. And we had the audacity to be wearing white linen. Figure it out. But the air was working. See, God's working in that situation, huh? And we were just cracking jokes and laughing and going on. So we get to our sister out, the graduation is over, time to go out to have dinner. She got this spread that you would not believe set up. But here's one problem. The air went off. We ain't like it was there. No problem. I'm saying that in situations where we cannot control, in circumstances we cannot control, when you have joy, it doesn't affect you. I still have joy.
Yeah.
Even in something like that, and oh, we could tell you a story, but when it's things like that, we still, as a family, found a way to laugh and still have joy.
All right.
This is the lesson this morning. In Galatians, Paul asked a very penetrating question, a question that we could ask today in Galatians 4:15. He said, what has happened to all your joy?
Yeah.
If you read it, what he said was in Galatians 4:15, he said, where is then the blessedness you spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given unto me. He said that earlier I was dealing with you and you were so excited about what was going on that you would have plucked out your own eyes to give it to me.
Yeah.
And now I'm here in the midst of you. I'm wondering what happened to your joy.
Yeah.
Anybody been down on Paul Street?
Right.
You've been around somebody, they were shouting on Sunday, and then you met them on Monday?
Yeah.
And you just want to ask them a question. What happened to your joy? My basic instruction before leaving earth, that's my Bible, tells me in Romans the 14th chapter, 17th verse, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
This scripture speaks about not only the act, but righteousness is an act, but it's also about the condition, the peace is the condition, but also the attitude that is joy in the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few questions and I want to address three concerns because there are three types of people that don't have joy in the church that causes me some concern. Now, I know this is none of you, so if you would join me in a little gossip about somebody who's not here, can we y'all stay tuned? Because I know how people like to zero in on a little gossip. So stay with me with a little gossip, because when I think about the three types of people, I'm going to talk about a grumpy person, a grumpy Christian, a depressed Christian, and a burdened Christian. Can we talk about that for just a minute? See, I get concerned. How can a Christian, that someone that's in the kingdom of God, be grumpy? I mean, let me rephrase the question a bit. Is a grumpy Christian an oxymoron? Or doesn't one have to be a moron to be a grumpy Christian? How can one claim to be walking with God and be grumpy for any length of time?
Yeah.
Now, I know y'all seen them, but they call themselves Christians. Can you imagine someone perpetually with a long face telling you how good God is? And telling them about God's good news, but they themselves, my brother, I think James said it this way, my brother, these things ought not so be.
Yeah.
Grumpy is one of the seven dwarfs, but not one of the nine gifts.
Yeah.
So we need to focus on the 9 gifts. We just want to talk about joy. The second person that concerns me is a person that's depressed. Why do we have so many depressed and burdened Christians in our church? Matthew 5 and 16, 7. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But if we Christians get so wrapped up in the process of living day to day that we begin to lose interest and neglect God's word, we get depressed. Did y'all hear what I said? When you get caught up in doing your day-to-day grind like that mouse inside of that wheel, you'll find yourself getting caught up and depressed over the routine of things. If you're not excited about God's word, the only way you get excited about it, you got to get in it. I'm going to ask you a question that's a rhetorical question, though, but you just think about it for me. Don't answer this question out loud. Did you read your Bible this week? I didn't say today. We're going to excuse today, but at all this week. But if you didn't, I'm not saying you, but if somebody here did not, you can understand why your week may have been a little bit more difficult than it had to be. Something about inserting God's word into your life as your week goes on that somehow lifts you from a position of being depressed. When we start to not delve in God's word, the weight of serving God, did y'all hear what I said? The weight of serving God becomes too heavy and it steals our joy. We are left with the dull mechanics of Christianity where we're just going through the motions. You know how it is. I mean, if you're not reading the Bible, you don't have a joy about it. You know, you cannot wait. I better tighten this up. I got about 10 minutes. You can't wait to get out of this because it's just a routine. But when you're excited about God and who He is, when you're excited about serving the Lord, you know what I'm saying? Church is over, but you somehow still here. Now, the other person, the other Christian, is that one that is burdened. If we are carrying the burden that God intended for us not to carry, but intended to carry ourselves, then we are carrying something we shouldn't carry.
Right.
There's a story that was told of a man walking down the road with a large sack of potatoes on his shoulder. It was so heavy that the sweat was falling from his brow. A man pulled up in a pickup truck and offered to give him a ride. He climbed into the passenger side and he put his sack of potatoes on his back. Now he's sitting in the car now with potatoes on his back. After a while, the driver looked over at him and said, "Look, you just put the potatoes. Why don't you just relax the potatoes on the floor and you relax?" The man replied in these words, "I know, sir, I won't do it. I will not. You've done enough that you're carrying me to town. I'm not going to let you carry these taters to me." I just want to make sure everybody got it. Give you a little picture of it. Whether it's on the floor or on your back, you still got to carry it. What am I saying? Because some of us are carrying burdens God has already lifted off of us, but we insist on carrying them ourselves, and we're burdened down. And this is just God is not carrying you anyway. So why don't you let Him give your burdens over to Him and then just enjoy the ride? Hebrews chapter 12 and 1 said, "Wherefore, seeing that we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the wasted grace that is set before us." Stop carrying stuff and being burdened down by stuff that really you shouldn't be carrying in the first place.
That's right.
Again, we were talking about somebody else and not about us. So let's bring it home. Shall we bring it home? The psalmist tells us in the declares in Psalm 107, "And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving and declare His work with rejoicing." He said, "Well, now wait. When you are talking about God, it's not enough that you to talk about Him, but I want you to declare His works with joy."
Yes, sir.
You ought to get excited when you're talking about God and who He is.
Somebody
ought to see God in you, and they should be able to see that in how you interact with others because of the joy. That's how we put we all suffer from the Nehemiah syndrome. He was in the house serving the king, and the king looked at him and he saw it. He said his countenance was sad, and the king called him aside and said, "Nehemiah, what's wrong with you? I see that your countenance is sad. You don't normally look that way." Did y'all hear what I say? You don't normally look that way. See, I love the Nehemiah syndrome because what happened is Nehemiah had a problem of being happy, having joy. See, because he was so excited that when he did look sad, somebody recognized him. I don't know if y'all got that. Let me bring it on home here. See, sometimes what we tend to do when somebody get happy around here, we want to know what's going on. What's wrong with them? Now, we ain't sad. We just accept that's just normal for that. That's protocol. We don't want to worry about that. That's normal procedure. But we need to be in such a place that our excitement ought to be at a level that when we get sad, somebody ought to be concerned. Y'all get what I'm saying? brother in James chapter 1, he said, my brother, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing that the trial of your faith worketh patience, and patience worketh it should not this long. An atheist once said, a Christian, he said, look, if you want me to believe in your Redeemer, then you got to look a lot more redeemed. We tell folks we want to believe in who our God is,
right.
We ought to look more like our God. Galatians 5 and 22 tells us about the fruit of the Spirit. If you have, and this is not a question, if you have the Holy Spirit, there are automatic fruit that yield themselves from that Spirit.
Yes.
You know, if you plant an apple tree, it's not going to produce oranges. It's going to produce apples. You follow me? A pear tree is going to produce pears. The fruit of the Spirit produces certain fruit. Now, I just want to deal with one. We got the one called joy. If you have the Holy Spirit, then this spirit of joy, this fruit is automatic out of that Spirit.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to, or nor do I am inclined to, have you jump up. Run down the aisle and jump the pew. That should be something like that taking place within you already.
Yeah.
Anybody excited today about who God is?
Yeah.
Now, I realize that it's very easy for us as Christians to be grumpy, depressed, or perhaps burdened. So I want to offer you something on why I still have joy.
Yeah.
And I believe that maybe you can glean something from Paul as well as my experience on why and how you can hold on to your joy. Can we talk about that a minute? There are three reasons that I still have joy. I'll categorize these four for mnemonic and make it easier. They're called three C's of joy. The cause. I have a cause to have joy.
Right.
C, a choice. I choose to have joy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And the last three is chained. I've been chained, and that gives me joy.
Yeah. All right,
can we talk about that for a minute?
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the cause of joy. The cause of joy. I have joy. I still have joy because I have a cause to have joy.
Yeah.
We can equate happiness with joy, but I want to submit to you that these are two totally different things.
Yeah.
Why? Because they each spring from a different source.
Yeah.
One comes from the world around us. The other originates from the Spirit of God in us.
Yeah.
Y'all know the difference? You know which one is different? Joy does not mean happiness, because happiness depends on your circumstances or on something happening.
Yeah.
The lexicographer Webber, I think he had it somewhat wrong, because he defined joy as the feeling of great happiness. But
yeah.
I want to separate the two, because we got a lot of happy folk, but they got no joy.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of people who are joyful, but they ain't happy.
Yeah.
I'm going to make that plain in just a minute. Happiness is conditioned by and also dependent on what's happening to me. If people treat me right, if they treat me nice, if things are going my way, if I'm getting the food that I want, I'm wearing the clothes that I want, I'm driving the car that I want, I'm in the house that I want, I'm happy. I'm getting what I want. That's what happiness is all about. If I'm going to the shows or going to the parties or going to the games or my team is winning, I'm happy.
Yeah.
If you get out of church early, I'm happy.
Yeah.
If that doesn't happen, then I am unhappy. If the heat goes off in here, or rather the air, I'm not the only one going to be unhappy. It's a normal thing, if you're dependent on your circumstances, to go between happiness and unhappiness.
Right.
But joy, my people,
Joy
is a whole different thing.
Yeah.
Joy, on the other hand, is a profound and compelling quality of life that transcends delight and disaster.
Yeah.
It transcends great and grotesque.
Yeah.
It transcends ups and downs. It transcends good and bad. It's not dependent on what's happening around you.
Right.
Joy said, I'm here,
yeah,
whether you like me or not.
Yeah.
This joy I have, the world didn't give it to me. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. Joy is divine dimension of living that is not shackled by circumstances.
Yeah.
I don't know if y'all heard me.
Yeah.
It's not shackled by your circumstances.
Yeah.
Joy, the Hebrew word for joy, means to leap and to spin around with pleasure. In the New Testament, the word means gladness and blissful celebration, because I'm excited because of not of who I am, but who he is.
Yeah.
Joy is an inward attitude that has God as its object and its source. I'm not concerned about how you treat me. I just know who God is. I'm concerned about how he treats me. And as a result that I have joy, it's much deeper than happiness. It can be present even in the midst of your pain. You can be going through something and still have joy. I've seen folks that were sick on their deathbed still having joy. I've seen folks with a whole lot of pain than we've gone through, and they still have joy. I was in the hospital the other day with a young man. I'm surprised he in a bathing suit on today, but he was in the hospital, and they were sitting up in there with themselves. They're like a little couple in the hospital, and I'm like, oh my goodness. They're in the hospital just like little loving couples. And if you didn't know any better, you would think that they were in a hotel baby, and they were just happy because all that joy. I ain't going to put them on blast if they're wearing bathing, just so you know. Joy is an inward attitude that looks at God as the object and the source.
Yes.
Joy in it is a consequence of our faith. As earlier mentioned, Psalm 28 said, the Lord is my strength and my shield.
Yes.
My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart gladly rejoices and will sing and I will praise him. You got to understand that your joy, it originates from the Holy Spirit on the inside.
Yes,
it's difficult not to have joy when you think about what God has done, is doing, and is going to do.
Yeah.
Look at what God has done. He justified us.
Yeah.
If you say it, I say you've been justified.
Yeah.
And now justice says you got to die.
Yeah.
But God justified us through the death of his son.
Yeah.
And Jesus, just if I had not done anything wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't that a good God? Yeah. Now, he know I did wrong, but he looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
Yeah.
God not only did it, he admitted me into his favor. He allowed me to abide there in his presence in the FOG. Y'all know that's called the fog. That's the favor of God. And while everything is going wrong around me, God is somehow making a way for me.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes I go through, but he's taking me through in order to get to. Yeah, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm just going through the valley. I'm not in the valley to stay, but God is using that valley to give me sometimes, to give me a shortcut. You know, he can take me around the mountain. Around the mountain, here we come. You coming around? I got caught up. But he takes me through the valley to get me to it, and some of us complaining because we're in the valley.
Yeah.
Now that he's providing us a new one, when we look at God, how he blessed us, he woke us up this morning.
Yeah.
He gave us life, health, and strength, food, shelter, and cold, put a table in front of us. He kept us from danger of battle. He allowed us to go to church and come to church without harassment and without arrest and without torture and without death. We can just come here and assemble ourselves and serve and worship a true and living God with no pressure. Did y'all what I said? No pressure. There are people in the world would die to be in the situation, and are dying to be in the situation you're in right now. To be able to just even read about the God that we serve. And here we are with all the opportunities in the world. And we're not taking full. Did y'all hear what I said? I love the God we serve, because our God we serve is a joyful God. Zephaniah said in 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Hear me now. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy.
Yeah.
He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing. Isn't that good to know that the God we serve is a joyful God? That he will joy over us. He gets excited with us. He sets us up so we can experience his joy because he is a joyful God. It ain't something that you have to make up. It's the fruit of his spirit is joy. That's about the cause. So we have, when we look at what God is doing and has done, we have cause to be joyful.
Yeah.
But look here, let me offer something else. It's a choice. Joy is a choice. Joy is a choice. And you've got to choose to be joyful. No matter what, whether you're broke or busy you have to choose to be joyful.
Right.
We're not only commanded, but it's a choice. In Philippians 4, we find he said rejoice, and he repeats it, and the Lord always again I say rejoice. He said, but then he said let. And he uses let a couple of times. So not only is a command, but it's a choice. If you got let, I'm not gonna tell you, I'm not gonna make you do it, but you ought to let, I'm gonna let you do it. You gotta choose. We're not victims. symptoms of our circumstances, if we believe God and who he is, that he will guide us and not faint or some kind of uncontrollable force, Paul said that the joy, our joyfulness is in the Lord. He is the source of our joy. If you have God as the source, then this other stuff is not what matters. Galatians 5:22, we talk about the joy the Bible informs us is part of the Holy Spirit. It's the true source of joy, is knowing who God is.
Yes.
When you know who God is for yourself, then you can know what joy is for yourself.
Yes.
If we accept him as our Lord and our Savior, we can expect joy to permeate from our being. It's something about knowing who God is.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit dwells in us and gives us the fruit that allows us to be happy.
Yes.
Joy comes from God,
yes,
who lives in us, and
yes,
from not from the happening outside of us.
Yes.
So it's not about who and how they treat you. It's about the God that's in you.
Yes.
Joy is not an emotion. I want to be clear. It is a choice.
Yes.
It is an attitude towards life.
Mm-hmm.
Can I bear myself out there?
Yeah.
Some of you have a half a glass of water. Let me get there. And you're upset because it's a half a glass. Others of us have a half a glass. And we're just happy and joyful is a half a glass. It's about how you look at life. And joy, when you have it on the inside, it says whether the glass is half full or half empty. I'm just glad.
Yeah.
I got water.
Yeah.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
And I like the fact that it's in the glass. Joy is not, if you look at it, it changes your attitude. Joy is about the attitude that you have. We see, if you don't have joy, you're looking at what you don't have versus what you do have. Joy allows you to change your perspective and allow you to celebrate what God is doing in your life. Rebecca, help me out. Habakkuk 3:17-18. Look at what it said. Although the fig tree shall not blossom,
yeah,
here now, neither shall fruit be in the vine.
Yeah.
The labor of the olive shall fail. This,
yeah,
is a bad situation. And the field shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herb in the stall. But verse 18 says, yet,
yes,
I will rejoice,
yes,
in the Lord.
Yes.
I will joy,
yes,
in the God of my salvation.
Yes.
No matter how bad it gets,
yes,
I'm just going to look to the Lord. Rebecca said, I will rejoice.
Yes.
He said, I have a choice.
Yes.
Nobody's going to force you to do it, but you have a choice that no matter how bad it is,
yes,
you can look to the Lord and say, I will rejoice,
yes,
in the Lord.
Yes.
I know you had a hard week. Well, so did I.
Whatever.
Do you really think you were really concerned that deep about how bad your week was when you're sitting up here looking all pretty right now? Why are you even wasting my time talking about that nonsense? Why don't you just celebrate the fact that somehow you made it over?
Yeah.
I don't know how I got here.
Yeah.
I don't know how and why God allowed me to be here. They said I wasn't going to make it.
Yeah.
They said I wouldn't be here today.
Yeah.
But I'm still holding on.
Yeah.
Why am I holding on? Well, not because I'm so good looking.
Yeah.
Not because I'm so fine.
Yeah.
But it's because of the God that I serve.
Yeah.
Look beyond my fault.
Yeah.
And throw my knees.
Yeah.
Pick me up.
Yeah.
Turn me around.
Yeah.
And place my feet,
yeah,
on the solid ground.
Yeah.
For that reason, I have joy.
Yeah.
To my,
yeah,
life.
Yeah.
It's because I've been saved.
Yeah.
Because I've been changed.
Yeah.
I have joy.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've been through,
uh-huh,
but I was an old creature.
Yeah.
But now I'm a new creature.
Yeah.
Old things have passed away.
Yeah.
All things have become new.
Yeah.
Since I've come to know who God is,
yeah,
he changed my life.
Yeah.
Since he changed me,
yeah,
he brought me to this point. I used to think it was all about me.
Yeah.
I was about to go to school,
yeah,
make good grades, get a degree,
yeah,
get another degree,
yeah,
get another degree,
yeah,
get a degree on top of a degree.
Yeah.
I'll be all that,
yeah,
plus a bag of chips.
Yeah.
I don't know why the chips is more, but I thought I'd just go in.
Yeah.
But I thought I'd be all that, plus a bag of chips.
Yeah.
But I come to realize there's some things outside of my control,
yeah,
that I'll have no control over.
Yeah.
It's in God's hand.
Yeah.
And if I put it in hand,
somebody, yeah,
said, little becomes much,
yeah,
and you place it in the master's,
yeah,
place. When God gets his hand on it, he can set your pocket,
yeah,
set your clock up,
take, yeah,
your time,
yeah,
change your time,
yeah,
and put you in a place where you never thought you would be.
Yeah.
I had no idea,
yeah,
I'd be here.
Yeah.
That's a lie.
Yeah.
But somehow God made it,
yeah,
not me,
yeah,
but he changed me. Now look, when change takes place in,
yeah,
your life, the way you see things change,
yeah,
joy has a way. way of changing your perspective.
Yeah.
It changes when how you see things are taking place. See, Job will create a miracle in your life.
Yeah.
Don't take my word for it. Talk to Job. Josh, I was going through some things.
Yeah.
My old friends came and sat with me.
Yeah.
You gotta watch who you let sit with.
Yeah.
And they start telling me all about what I had done wrong and how I ought to confess. Even my own wife told me, just trust God and die. You're not going to make it. But jokes, I had something on the inside of me. This joy I had. My circumstances. You got to understand that he wasn't happy about his circumstances, but he had joy. And joy allowed him to hold on, hang on, that help was on the way. And then when God turned it around, and God did turn it around, he not only gave me what I had, but he tripled and gone tripled and don't take his word for it. Talk to Daniel. Daniel will say, well, I was just praying, giving the Lord thanks. I got in trouble for giving the Lord thanks. They just told me not to pray, but I kept on praying. In fact, I opened up my window, and I began to pray in the window. They saw me praying, put me in the lion's den. You would think that I'd be upset about my new location, my new address. But you know, when they put me there, I knew I was serving a God. It wasn't about me. I knew the God I had prayed to every now and then, church. You got to rely on prayer that you already sent up. I was down in that lion's den. All these lions hanging around. I wasn't worried about it because I had joy. My circumstance was bad, but I had joy. And somehow, some way, God turned it around. Somebody tell the story. I had the best sleep in my life. You ever step on a lion? I don't know what y'all. I don't know if y'all done that, but I stepped on lions before. And, you know, I'm talking about your circumstances. They're bigger than what you are. But you're able to sleep at night. So God has it in his hand. I don't have to conquer the lion. I can sleep on the lion. God's got the lion in control. He's trying to take care of things in your life. You ought to give it over to God and just have joy. I'm going to do this in a minute. Abraham, can you help me? I'm on the way up to sacrifice my son.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it because God said, go.
Yeah.
I got my son.
Yeah.
I'm on my way up to sacrifice him.
Right.
My son is going along with me, but I'm up here about to sacrifice him.
Yeah.
And God makes a way out of no way. How are you going to be on your way to destroy your son unless you're relying on God?
Yeah.
But I'm telling you all, church, you got to learn to rely and depend on God.
Yeah.
No matter what the circumstances, if it involves a family member, a lion, or whatever in your life, you just put it in God's hand.
Yeah.
And just, you just have joy.
Yeah.
You just begin to celebrate.
Yeah.
No matter how dark it is, just have joy.
Yeah.
He didn't get here 131 years. Still standing here off of happiness.
Because
I'm going to tell you, some Sunday you come in, you ain't happy.
Yeah.
I know you ain't happy. Some of y'all ain't happy right now, but I hope you have joy. That song says, I still have joy.
Yeah.
He said, I've been through the storm.
Uh-huh.
I've been through the rain.
Yeah.
I've had some heartaches.
Yeah.
I've had some pain. I was trying to write it down. And say, he said, I've been sick.
Yeah.
I've been talked about.
Yeah.
I've been used. I've been misused. But I still have joy.
Yeah.
I don't know what you've been through, but I still have joy.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I've been lied on.
I've
been cheated.
Yeah.
Been talked about.
Yeah.
Mistreated.
Yeah.
Been abused.
Yeah.
Been scorned.
No.
Y'all know what I'm talking about.
But
a child of God, I don't know if I'm going to do that. I'm just going to tell him thank you.
Yeah.
And I believe when I get there,
yeah,
I'm going to see him. I stood there last night after I got off the plane, and I rushed over to the baggage claim section. I've been working on this message on the plane, and I was committed in understanding what it means to have joy. And when I got there, the carousel said there were four flights that had luggage coming through.
The first one already had the luggage coming through, then the thing stopped. And they started playing with us. And they changed it and said one flight, which was my flight, with luggage coming through, and they turn it on just about 30 minutes later and turn it off. Ain't nothing came out. Then a few minutes later, they turn it on again. Now, you know, I'm standing here at this port. She was circling around the port, and I'm saying, I still... I ain't happy. An hour later, a man walked up out of the little carousel, not luggage, a man walked through the carousel. As if to suggest to us that there was a problem with it. To make us feel better, I guess. I wanted to go and grab him and say something to him, but I still... They turned the carousel on and spun for about 10 more minutes. They shot some luggage through it, it wasn't mine. I said, I still... Then they had the audacity, without even telling us, to start another carousel on the other side and said that ultimately, after waiting there for a couple more minutes, that, oh, there's some of the luggage is on the other side. I said, I still... And immediately as I walked over, the first piece that came off was mine. Since we got here, not on our own, but God brought us. We should not depend on ourselves to do anything. Our joy has nothing to do with our circumstances. It's not about you being happy. It's not about you being sad. It's not about you having everything you want or feeling the best that you can. But it's about God. And if we just look to Him and just have joy, because somebody said it best. If God does nothing else for me, He's already done enough. I still have joy. I don't cry because I'm sad, but I got joy overflowing. Let me extend the invitation today. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord as part of your sin, I extend this invitation to you. Get to know Him for yourself. This joy I'm telling you about, it comes in knowing who God is. How hard is it to get to know Him? Well, it's easy. Romans 10:9 says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth